Good morning. Well, I've chosen a subject today that I don't think it's going to be unfamiliar. You've probably heard many messages on this. But throughout my life, this parable has spoke to me an awful lot. And the importance of seed sowing, sharing the gospel with those around us, and sharing what God does for us, has done for us, and what he's wanting to do for us. I'd like to read in Mark chapter 4, and we'll start with 13. It says, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that has that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You pray with me. Father, we're just asking that you would speak to our hearts and encourage us, Lord, and thank you for all that you've done for us. And help us to hear you and be hearers of your word today, and encourage us to be willing to continue to sow the word, sow the seed that you've asked us to do. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I see Mervyn Vaughn's way in the back, and I need to ask you a question, Mervyn. I might not be able to hear the answer. If you bought an expensive bag of seed corn, and you left it closed, the bag closed up, and you left it in your shed, what would your harvest be? Zero? But it was an expensive bag of seed corn. Sometimes I wonder if that isn't what we are when the opportunities come in our lives to share God's word, what he's done for us. We sometimes want to leave that bag closed. We don't really want to share it. We don't want it to produce fruit because we're afraid. Maybe that person will make fun of us. Maybe our community won't like us anymore. Or how about our classmates? Maybe they'll laugh at us. I have found that it's a pretty interesting thing when we share God's word. And to see some of the results of that, we've had that opportunity in our life, my wife and I, in reaching out to different hurting people that come across in our paths. But the seed didn't grow because I was some miracle person or I did some fabulous thing that made that seed grow. What made that seed grow was the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't do any good to plant the seed if we didn't have him to make it go. You know, many times we have opportunities to share God's word with people that come across our path. And sometimes we don't realize that it was an opportunity till it's already passed us by. I've had that happen to me a few times afterwards. After the person left, I get some thoughts and think, was that just an opportunity? I didn't take it. I have to hang my head in shame. And sometimes there was an opportunity I did take, a few times with a young man that worked for me, and I think I've shared this before, but on a Friday night, I told him, I says, be careful this weekend. I need you Monday. Friday night at 2 o'clock in the morning, he was killed on a motorcycle accident. And I thought, after that happened, a young man, Lord, did I take all the opportunities you gave me with that young man? Did it make any difference? I don't know. The thing we need to realize is we live in a dying world that's full of sin. They need healed. We have the answer. We have the seeds they need. Even though many times I've shared those seeds in my lifetime, I wish I could make them grow. I really wish I could put Miracle-Gro on them and make them pop out of the ground and do what they're supposed to. But I couldn't. All I could do was be faithful in sowing the seed and sharing with those that God brought across my path. You see, sometimes we don't know what kind of soil that we're scattering the seed out. Here's something that God tells us in Samuel 16:7. It says that God looks at the heart, and we can only see the outward appearance. I can't tell whether that soil is rocky. I can't tell whether that soil is fertile. I might be able to see, though, that the soil have a lot of thorns. And in looking away at a lot of farmers farm today, I can't quite figure it out, but wait till the weeds get about this tall, and then they plant their corn. And I'm thinking, boy, that doesn't make any sense. The weeds are this tall, and they're planting corn in that. About a week later, along comes a sprayer, all the weeds die, and pretty soon the corn's this tall. So maybe you could see maybe a thorny ground. Think of when you first heard the word being sown in your life. Was it upon rocky soil? Was it thorny soil? Or was it good soil? Well, apparently it probably was in good soil sooner or later. And it brought forth fruit, or otherwise you wouldn't be here today. And how many times did it take the sower to sow seed on your little plot of ground, your little heart, to make that seed, your heart grab onto that seed and do something with it? Well, we see here in our chapter that sometimes the seed gets sown, and Satan is right there to snatch that seed away before it even hits the ground. You can probably think of people like that, maybe you've shared the word with, and right away they come right back at you about something. Satan doesn't want the lost to come to know Jesus. He doesn't want that seed that you have to sow, or that word that you show, that you sow and share. Satan doesn't want it to even take root. Even though Satan does not care about the world, he wants to take everybody to hell he can. He knows he's going to have to suffer for what he's done, and you might as well go along with him and suffer too. But God has a different plan, a way that you can have your sins forgiven and you can spend eternity in heaven with him. We also find that the seed falls. Some of it fell on a stony ground, and it was received with gladness, but when it sprouts, it doesn't take root. It doesn't endure, but it withers. Kind of makes me wonder, think about things that maybe these folks, their emotions were touched, not their heart. You see, he's concerned about your heart, not how you feel. Not how your mind is or how you can figure it out. He's concerned about your heart, because your heart is the most important thing that needs to be touched. If the heart isn't touched, there isn't going to be a change in life. And that's what God wants. And then We see that the seed falls on a thorny ground. It would give us the idea that it's listened to, but the cares of the world choke it out. Sometimes it's hard when we live in such a materialistic world here. We have everything we want. We don't know what it is to hunger. We don't know what it is to run around with no shoes, no clothes, and maybe not even a place to live. We don't know what any of that's like. Maybe if we had a little more of that, not that I'd really like to live that way, maybe it would turn our hearts more willing to receive the seed. When you have everything you need, you don't feel like you have a need, even though your heart's black with sin. And it's interesting, in some of the countries where I've known missionaries to work, where there's very little, those people are dying to hear the word of God. They're dying to hear the gospel. They're not wanting church to be over in an hour. They want it all day long. And yet we complain sometimes. Oh, church went 10 minutes over today. Couldn't wait to get out the door. Just imagine complaining, I didn't hear enough today. I want to hear more. What would that be like? I just say that. I think about that sometimes. But then we have the good ground where the seed falls on the good ground. And it is accepted. And it goes on and it bears fruit. You see, that's what Christianity is all about. It's about getting that seed and it sprouts. It makes a change in our life. Turn about 180 degrees repentance. A lot of things we don't hear. But then it goes on to bear fruit. God doesn't want us just to be a bench warmer. He wants us to get us off that bench and get to work. In our community and at school, not just in faraway lands, right there where we live. We'll go back to the question I asked in the beginning. If a farmer buys a bag of corn and never opens it, what good does it do to buy the seed? I'd like to look at a couple examples of seed sowers in Scripture. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. This is a long chapter, so I'm not going to read it all. Maybe you could read it and think about it in your spare time this coming week. But this was shortly after Pentecost, and the disciples were full of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord wanted to get the church off the ground. He wanted to get it up and running. And, of course, Peter, he was always pretty good about volunteering, about talking, whether he was asked or not. He liked to do that. So the first sermon that was preached after Pentecost, Peter had the privilege of doing that. He shared words from the prophet Joel. He talked about David. Talked about a little bit about what God was about. Talked about that Jesus had risen from the dead. But he also brought out that they killed their Messiah. They killed Jesus. And it says we're not told how many people were exactly there, so I can't tell you how many were there. It'd be kind of interesting to know. But it says in, we'll read verse 36. And a couple verses after, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Jesus, Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. I like that. Cut to the heart. Isn't that what the seed, the Holy Spirit, is supposed to do? Is to cut the heart. They were so cut to the heart that they asked Peter, now what could we do? What do we need to do? Well, we see Peter didn't waste any time. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remissions of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Well, in this chapter, Peter was able to sow several seeds, share the word. And we find that it tells us in verse 41, it says, and those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Well, if they had to hurry up and get home after this service, I think they had to hang around for a while. Imagine 3,000 people going through this baptistry this morning. We'd be here a while. I think dinner at Culver's would have to wait. But the thing to remember is that their heart was cut. Their hearts were cut. So the Holy Spirit was bringing conviction. Let's look at another sermon of another guy that was planting seeds. Let's look at the life of Stephen. Let's see. I think it's chapter 6, yep. We're not told much about Stephen, but in the early church there was a reason they needed some helpers. I think to help the widows was. And so anyway, there was a man that was chosen, and his name was Stephen, and it says in verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5, says he was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Pretty self-centered? No, I don't think so. He wasn't worried too much about himself. But anyway, he was chosen because his qualifications and because he let God run his life. And he was willing to be served no matter what. The seeds in his life sprouted and produced fruit. And so we see it in this chapter that he... Some people were complaining about him, trying to find fault with him, probably because he was full of faith, and it probably made some people mad, and they were trying to find ways to get back at him. So anyway, he was falsely accused of blasphemy. So he, in this chapter, then he was brought before the council. And I find it interesting in verse 15, it says, and all that sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, and saw his face as the face of an angel. It must have been real in his life so much that his face reflected what was in his heart. There's a lot to read here, so I'm not going to read it all. But the high priest asked him a question in chapter 7, verse 1. And it says, are these things so? And boy, Stephen, he let him have it. He took the opportunity of sowing seeds. He gave him a history lesson. About Abraham, clear through David, Moses, Jacob. Letting them know what was to come. And then we find... In verse 51 of chapter 7, he didn't pull any punches after telling him this history lesson. He came right and said that they were stiff-necked and their hearts were uncircumcised and so were their ears. And that told him that they always resisted the Holy Spirit as their fathers did. And he asked him the question, which of the prophets did they not persecute or killed for the foretelling of the coming of the just one. Doesn't sound like he watered it down any at all. He was pretty stern. But we see in verse 54, here's that little phrase again. When they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Oh, their heart was cut too. Do we read the same as we read about Peter? They asked Peter, asked Stephen, what shall we do to make this right? No, it made them so mad they picked up stones and threw them at him. And as Stephen was dying, he even looked up into heaven and asked God to forgive them for what they were doing. Can you imagine that? Spreading the word. Nobody wanted it. Made him so mad they threw rocks at him enough that it killed him. Peter and Stephen both faithfully sowed the word. Sowed the seed. We are told in Matthew 7:13 through 14 to enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in that way, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. Few who will find it. That's kind of interesting to think about, that few that are finding it. Even though we go out and we spread the seed, we don't know who's going to accept it or not, but we still have to be faithful seed sowers. But the Bible tells us that few will find that road because it's too narrow. Many will give up, but we do not find anywhere in the message that Peter and Stephen gave that they tried to make the narrow road wider to bring more people in. We're told they were faithful in sowing the seed and telling the truth. You know, I have had talked to some young people today, that one of the young men that works for me, he's not a young person, he's in his early 20s. But he told me the other day, he says, one of the things that bothers us young people the most is we need to hear the truth about the gospel. We're so sick and tired of hearing it watered down and being lied to that we can still live in our sins and we can be made comfortable. He says, I want to hear the reality that if I disobey God and I choose the ways I know I should not, I want to know how to get to heaven, not to feel good on the road to hell. And I about fell over. I couldn't believe this young man tell me something like that. And he's been involved with the church in Monroe. At one time he was where a man started a church in Monroe for unchurched people. He wanted to reach people that would not go to church. And I'm telling you, some of the people that go there, kids, it's amazing. I've seen things I never saw before. Body piercings, tattoos everywhere, hair colors. Not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying things that you don't see every day. And yet this young man went to this church and he learned about Jesus. And it wasn't long, he was seeing right through things. He says, he went to the minister and he says, I want to know the truth. What do I have to do to become a believer? What do I need to do to have a security that I know I'm going to go to heaven? And the preacher sat down and talked with him about it. But I was just amazed what he said. Because you'd think quite the opposite. As you do hear people that do come to church and says, I want to come to church and hear something that makes me feel good about myself. But when you hear those that want to hear the truth so something in their life can be changed and know how to change it, it makes it worth it to sow the seed and the responsibility that we have. As you see, the kingdom of heaven is going to be full of people that heard the seed. They're going to be full because somebody was faithful in sowing the seed? And who is faithful in your life to sow the seed? Yes, the Holy Spirit had to come in and work. And yes, you had to give in because you have a choice of whether to accept it or not. But who was it in your life that took the time to sow seeds in your life? Where would you be today if that little seed sower didn't come along in your life? Where would you be today? I hate to think of where I would be. I don't even want to imagine. I just thank God the work that he's done in my life. But you see, here in Acts, if you read over a few more chapters, in chapter 9, there was a man that was holding the clothes of the people that stoned Stephen. His name was Saul. And he heard those words that Stephen spoke. We're not told much about that or what he felt about it, but we are told that he was breathing out threats and murder plots against the disciples and the Lord's people. He also went to the high priest asking for letters so he could have more Christians arrested. He wanted to stomp out the gospel. But his heart must have been so geared on getting rid of these people. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus had a little talk with him. Well, actually, he had a big talk with him. A big light from heaven shone around about him and knocked him to the ground. He couldn't even get up. He couldn't see. But it's interesting that he knew exactly who did it to him, because he says, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew it was the Lord. But you see, the seeds that were planted in Saul's life, his name was later changed to Paul, the seeds that were planted in his heart, and they sprouted and they grew, and God used this man to write most of the New Testament. So you see, it does count. It does make a difference whether you're going to sow the seed or not. You need to sow the seed, because God used a man that was so bent on killing Christians and he thought he could stamp out Christianity. God took that man and turned him 180 degrees around. And he was used to start many churches, write most of the New Testament, and encourage the believers to be faithful. But we find that even when Paul was knocked to the ground and went through this experience, it wasn't very long. He got right up and he was sowing seeds. He went right to work for God. He didn't waste any time at all. We find too, we're told about in Paul's conversion that Ananias came along and he was a waterer. We find in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, Paul wrote these words. It says, "One sows and another waters, but it is God that gives the increase. No matter how much miracle grow, I dump in that water and I pour on that seed, I can't make it grow. Not the seeds of this kind. In my garden and my wife's flowers, I can sure make them grow. But in the soul, without God's work and the Holy Spirit, I can't do nothing, no matter how good I make it sound or how good I make it look like. I can't make it happen." So in closing today, I'd like to leave you with a few questions. Are you and I faithfully sowing seeds? Are we sharing the word when the opportunity comes? And who is it that knows what kind of soil the word is falling on? We may think that ground must be awful stony. I don't think I need to worry about it. That's not what God tells us. The sower went out and threw the seed where the rocks were. He had to see the rocks, but he still scattered the seed. Who knows, that stony ground, sometimes God's a hammer and he breaks that stone into pieces. And God may want that heart that's stony, because such person just like Paul, even though he had a heart of stone and hatred for Christianity, God knew that if I can get him on my side, he was so zealous in what he did that he can use him to be effective in his kingdom. Another question. Who makes the work of the sower successful? Thank you.